Hi, everybody. It's Tim of Kuan Yin Healing, and we are on the first bonus Q&A call for the Kuan Yin Journey. And there's not too big of a line here. I'm here with Carol and Pam. And Eileen emailed me a couple of questions. And so we'll go up with what we've got and hope it's helpful. So, Carol, you were just, before we started the recording, Carol was talking about, can you remind me, Carol, about the difficulty of letting go when it's, how did you phrase it again?
I don't know. Entangled with, with your offspring's journey?
Yeah.
Trying to help them?
Yeah, we were talking about how people blame other people for where they are. And Carol was sharing that she recognizes that they are stuck when they're there. And I added that that they, of course, when we're doing people who are doing that are, of course, choosing to be stuck. And, you know, there literally isn't anything that you can do about that. And so it becomes an issue of letting go. And, you know, for me, Carol, when I can't let go of something, it's because my ego is invested. You know, the should factory is still open and operating. And the only way that I at all got better at it is that I slowly, and I mean very slowly, realized the utter futility of it. It's not that, oh, wouldn't I be more saintly if I stopped worrying about shoulds? It's just I slowly realized that it's not going to happen, you know? I gained a lot of extra time just generically in my life, not just about this. When I took to heart three questions that Bob Proctor asked. One is, what are you trying to achieve? Two is, what's working? Three is, what's not working? And then take everything on the what's not working list and stop doing it. And for years and years and years, I tried to tweak what was on the not working list before I finally just said, it's not working. Just simply stop and you'll get identical results with a lot less frustration and a lot more time. Can devote my energies to things that in fact are working. And when I don't want to do that, it's because my should factory is working overtime. Well, I know it's not working, but it should work. And I have just slowly learned that I am I'm powerless over things like that. I can't force things the way I believe they should be. Things are the way that they are. to borrow one another way of looking at these types of situations that I heard Raymond Aron share when he's in a in a traffic jam, why are we there? The thing should be working better than this. You know, that should, he just says, well, I want to go. God thinks I should wait. I guess God's probably right. And tries to look at it that way. Another one I've heard recently, when I'm facing anything that's bugging me, I'm trying to remember who I heard this from. I can't think offhand, but she described, you know, the various qualities that we develop, the various skills we develop, like they were muscles, you know. And if I'm strengthening a muscle, okay, there's generally some sort of, you know, effort, pain, physical discomfort involved in that process of building an arm muscle or a leg muscle, so forth. Right? You keep working until it's you reach that point of resistance. And so she does the same thing with all the various emotional and character and social skills. When you get into a situation where we're feeling that pain and discomfort, ask ourselves, well, what muscle am I working right now? You know, and she has several names for them that I can't remember, but I have found that, at least for me, it doesn't really matter. I just kind of recognize, you know, like maybe I'm working on my compassion muscle or my letting go muscle or my ego muscle or whatever it happens to be. And I found that really helps me reframe things. Instead of going, oh, but it's not working out, I just go, wow, I wonder which muscle I'm working right now. And I gain a little perspective when I do that. Because to go full circle again, you know, we have no control over other people. You know, your parent, we're talking about adult children in this case, but if you know, even children, you know, it's, you know, simple observation shows if you never really have control over even young children, you know, other than basic safety things, they are who they are.
And actually, control is not the issue or the desire at all. It's just, you know, for them to be able to handle things on their own.
Yeah. Well, they're choosing not to. It's that way a lot when people get their egos wrapped around. I have one acquaintance, and he's a wonderful guy, but he has a very, very bitter resentment over something that happened in his family, and it's not hard to see why he would hold this resentment. The problem with that is it's running him, not vice versa. And there isn't anybody that can get him past that but himself. I compare this to being on a roller coaster. In theory, you know, if you're afraid to ride on the roller coaster, let go of the bar, put your hands in the air. You know, you'll feel better. And you tell that to somebody who is afraid about to go on the roller coaster, they're going to tell you where to stick it. You know, there's just, it's just not going to work. We face our own challenges and people choose their own results and they have as many lifetimes as they need to decide it's not working for them. Or decide this is how they like it. And there's nothing any of the rest of us can do, and there's nothing any of the rest of us really should do. I know there's the should factory that's going to stop that. There's nothing that any of the rest of us can do that will make much of a difference. You know, it's... you know the old joke, take my advice, I'm not using it.
Right.
Yeah. That's really it. I mean, it's
well, it's an inside job for them.
Yeah.
I can't do it for them.
And for what it's worth, I have recently made a resolution to myself in certain groups to reverse resolution. I promised myself I would do it up to the first of the year, where I normally would be sharing and interacting, and I've decided to do nothing but listen.
Mm-hmm.
And And it's not that I don't have things to say or things that would be helpful. It's that it's not doing anything. And it occurred to me that, well, why don't I spend a good 90 days listening, and maybe I'll learn something that I think I know. And we'll see in 90 days. But if nothing else, I'll learn to chill out a little bit more. that's useful too. So I know that's a lot of non-help, but it is what it is.
No, it's an affirmation of what I already know, and I just need to make the decision. Okay, just say, here it is. It's yours. You know, do with it what you will.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like the whistling background.
It's my husband's cell phone. And it's not where I can reach it, so.
I was going to say, he's really good.
he's approaching it now.
Pam, how are things going in your life? Options still opening up for you, or exciting new things? Or?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I had you on mute because I was making noise and I accidentally pushed the hold button, so I couldn't get the hold button to go off. things have been really hectic all this summer. We're still trying to sell a income property and just working and sorting and cleaning, and you don't realize how much just stuff you accumulate over 30 or 40 years, and going through all that and learning to let go. Don't need this stuff. Give it away, throw it away, take a picture of it, whatever, and you don't need it. And it's really feeling great to get some clear space and just get rid of some of this stuff and I found my grandparents' birth certificates, for crying out loud. Well, there's nobody interested in that kind of thing now, and what do I do with them? So I made a box, and everything that pertains to that set of grandparents just goes in the box, and things that aren't important or that duplicates get thrown away. And it's kind of nice to see it all, but it's also kind of nice to not have it cluttering up space that it doesn't need to. So that's what we've been doing all summer. Still at it. Still working at it.
Nice. I try to ask my tendency is always, I ask myself, do you need this? Because, yes, I need this. I need to use this. It's like, well, when is the last time you used it? I'm like, whoa.
You're going to need it. It always happens. But we're letting go of just a tremendous amount of things that don't need anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, that should be very freeing.
Yes. Yes, it is. Feels good.
Well, if either of you have another question, we'll do that first. And if not, I'll get into Eileen's questions, which will take a while. Eileen writes, two things we would like to hear. One, how the reconnective journey changed you. What kind of transformations did you experience personally in your practice? And two, one question that comes up with some frequency in our Tuesday night's discussion is it ego or intuition? Am I getting this bad feeling because I'm afraid to get out of my comfort zone, fear, or because it really isn't a path I should go down? So both of those have long answers.
Go for it.
Okay. All right. Well, how the reconnective journey changed me. Wow, where to start? And I came into this at a time when things were a little bit of a mess. I mean, it wasn't any disaster, but I had had an important relationship that had not worked out, and I was feeling sad and confused about that. And at the same time, I was doing a job I didn't dislike per se, but was not getting me up with any kind of excitement in the morning. And I thought maybe I'd like to do at least something else in addition to that, but I had no idea what. So I had lots and lots and lots of questions. And that's why I got into it. I thought, well, maybe this will help. Also my, I was feeling the effects of aging and being active. I had, been struggling with, back pain for a couple of years, degenerative disc disease. And so anyway, all that was going on for me. And I don't know what I was expecting, but just from what I was used to with energy healing in general, I was expecting something very, very subtle in my distance healing. And what I felt was instantaneous and intense and powerful. And I was pretty blown away by that. My actual energy alignment was, I did an in-person reconnection. That also was extremely powerful and euphoric, and several things happened as a result of that, one of which happened right there. Well, the first day, after the first session, I just felt super connected. Now, keep in mind, when I went into this, I'd been through so much New Age stuff and so much years and years of this, and I just had no use for any of it anymore. Like, life just is. People have their own wishful thinking and beliefs, and that's fine. But, you know, and I was okay with that. It wasn't, you know, like the militant type atheist that you run into sometimes. I was just like, you know, life is what it is, and that's okay. And so anyway, after my first session, I had to sit in the park for a little bit and to kind of pull myself back together, and I'm going, okay, do I have a really vivid imagination, or can I feel that tree? Can I feel that squirrel, you know, running about across the park to that tree? It was like this. It's just this very strange feeling of being connected, and literally feeling the things that are around me. The second day, as some of you have heard me tell this story before, but the second day, you know, not believing in anything other than the worldly, you know, I felt one hand grasp the base of my spine, the other hand steady my stomach, and incredibly stretched my spine, my back arch. This happened several times, the pain in my back was gone, just gone. And a few months later, when I had my regular checkup, you know, usually if you have, it was my degenerative disc disease, was an L4. That's one of the things they look for when they, you know, bonk your kneecap with the hammer to check your reflexes. You know, in one knee, it wasn't as good. And he says, yeah, it's because, you know, you've got some disease there. It's pinched on the nerve, you know, and there isn't anything they do for it. They can't, nothing they can do for it. So anyway, even the reflex tests were back to normal. So that was a pretty amazing thing for me. And I felt there's several things that would take a long time. I remember sitting down with my friend Louise trying to explain this, and ended up taking like a couple of hours to try to explain it. And you know, and one of the things was people I had been distant from came back into my life. Belief systems started coming back into my life, largely because they were right there in front of me and I could no longer deny them. From spiritual beliefs to, you know, to the reality that we're not alone, to connection, to just a really strong sense of flow and well-being, and everything changed. And it was really a different way of experiencing the world, which that I could understand, because, you know, as a professional musician and at that level, there's music as a different way to understand and think other than the way that we usually think. So I was familiar with that, but this was just yet another one. And I remember talking to my AA sponsor about it and trying to explain. And he said to me, you know, Tim, if you found a way to understand the world without getting into your head, I think that's perfect. And that's what this was for me. I could see that I was starting to understand the world in a way that didn't need my head. That got me curious about taking level 1 and 2 seminars, and I decided to take a level 3 seminar. And I wasn't planning on doing anything. I was just curious. I wanted to learn more. And along the way, I got it into my head that I was going to practice. I didn't know how I was going to practice, because I knew that simply saying, hey, I'm a healer, everybody come knock on my door, was not going to be a viable business model. But again, this reconnections, just, you know, it's just like my clients say, you know, suddenly doors open and people show up. And I had a string of powerful teachers and coaches and who just showed up, you know, Tad Hargrave from Marketing for Hippies, Alex Baisley of the Big Dream Program, Ryan Eliason of the Social Empowerment Network, Howard Jacobson, very, very sharp guy, who actually gave me the idea originally for incorporating the hero's journey into the Kuan Yin journey. And that sparked all kinds of things when I kind of got my teeth into that. Mark Silver and Jason Stein of Heart of Business, and others. It just, things just kind of kept happening, and they kept happening in directions a little different than I thought I was going to go. But they kept going there, and I just learned to start following them. You know, I changed my understanding of time, of abundance, of, you know, the house I've been talking about for years, suddenly, you know, that's on the verge of being built. And my vision expanded. You know, originally I was looking for something that I could do, and then suddenly I was like realizing that this was going to be about was helping people do what they wanted to do and let their work ripple out into the people that they work with, and that this was going to have far more impact than anything that I could have. And and it all goes back to the beginning of the journey, and the process was sharing more and more, and guiding other people on the journey. You know, it's it's I'm sharing the same path I walked, essentially. So, Eileen, I guess that's the answer to question number one. and that continues to grow. All right, question number two. Intuition versus ego. Am I getting this bad feeling because I'm afraid to get out of my comfort zone, fear, or because it really isn't a path I should go down? All right, there are about 30 topics wrapped up in this question. I'll share my thoughts on this. And it's a common problem, incidentally. You know, it's because what happens very often is that the projections that people have that come about from fear will be taken as intuition, and as you can imagine, the results aren't helpful. But here's the thing: the very question, the very situation, is that this is not any kind of that situation arises where that question would arise. It's not intuition; it's ego, and here's why. That's not an intuition event. That's a thought event, and it's the thought that's causing the fear, not the situation. There's not, you know, I know everywhere there's plenty of stories where, you know, somebody at the last minute has some intuition and changed their thoughts because something dangerous is going to happen. But you notice that they didn't say, "And I was really, really afraid," right? When we're in that extreme situation, there's clarity. It's not a question. It's when we're wrestling with it that we're caught up in thought, not intuition. Because remember that it's very, very helpful to think in terms of the states of being. Intuition comes from the Buddhic plane, and the Buddhic plane is above the thought plane. So our thoughts are clear when we're talking at the level of intuition, because thoughts are too slow a vibration. That's why intuition comes as flashes of insight. And also because of that, this is... intuition is always at the level of love. In the bonus module, the steps for manifestation, one of the things I talked about is the 333 vibration, how we are actually three groups of three in the speaking of creation. At the divine, universal level, whatever terms you want to use for that, you know, the highest level is pure potentiality. And then the second level is the divine spark, okay? And then the third level is the world of forms. In Taoism, this is, you know, the yin and yang from those two things, and the second plane comes the 10,000 things on the third plane. This is the nature of the divine, of universal energy. Our souls mirror that. So, in the Atma, at our highest point, where we touch the lowest point of the divine energy, you know, that's a piece of us. And then the huge piece of us is on the Buddhic plane, the intuition part. And then a little bit, you know, that goes into the mental plane, that's our highest part, the causal body. So we mirror the divine in that aspect. The Atma is our connection to divine and pure potentiality. Intuition, this is our teacher, our divine spark. It's the bulk of our soul energy, and which then is manifested in the causal body. That's our connection to the physical. Our physical bodies, our existence, mirrors that as well. So at our highest point, it's the mind. This is where imagination comes into play, right? And then the whole feeling plane in the middle, and then our physical, you know, where we take those ideas, we add to them feelings, desire, and that's what pushes ideas into manifestation. Then the physical plane, we manifest them. So our physical existence is a mirror of our soul. Our souls are a mirror of the divine. But in each case, it's the heart. Okay, the intuition. The love, you know, it's a mirror of the divine spark. There is not going to be fear associated with that, ever. If there is, it's not intuition, it's thought, energy. Maybe think of it in terms of clouds, right? You know, at what point are the stars not shining? Well, the stars are always shining. Sometimes there are clouds in the way, and our thoughts are clouds that are in the way. Another part of the question I wanted to look at was is this a path I should be going or I shouldn't be going down? And this is, I think, my two cents. I would look at this in the reverse. I think it's more useful. It's not really that there's a path we go down. It's more that the world we're in is one that we not only have attracted, but are actively attracting. We are vibration and electromagnetic vibration, and it's magnetic. So it's not so much a matter of, am I headed down the right path? You are where you are, and nothing but your own vibration is going to change that. Much of the thought we invest in, am I going down this path or that path, and you're already there. It's a matter of attracting things to us. And the question really should become, what do I want to attract to me? And that comes from desire. And if you remember from our material, then that comes from getting clear on what is it that you want, what is it you love. And that's where intention becomes handy. And the problem there is, it's interesting, so that actually some of these things have been studied going back to W. Clement Stone and Napoleon Hill. They'll ask at a seminar, and they'll find that 98% of people have no clear idea of what they want. And so those are going to be cloudy vibrations, by definition. But I have, here's a really interesting way to look at intuition then, because then I know that then begs the problem. Okay, I see what you're saying, but now how do I get into intuition? And here's what something that you can do. You get really quiet, and think of reaching out with your feelings. When we talk about feeling, we tend to think in terms of ego. How am I feeling, right? What are my feelings? It's a very, very subjective thing. When people don't want to look at things honestly, they will say, well, I just feel that, fill in the blank. And whatever they put in the blank doesn't have to match reality because that's just how they feel. Well, think of feelings in a very different way, not as something subjective. And so instead of feelings being self-referential, think of, like your hands. You say, how does your hand feel, right? Well, it feels one way if you just hit it with a hammer. But normally we think in terms of reaching out and using the feelings, okay, as the sense of touch or any other part of our body. My Tai Chi teacher used to say, you have hands all over your body and it has nothing to do with hands. He was talking about using that sense. And so if you close your eyes and pay attention to feeling, but look at feeling as going outside. It's reaching outside in all directions of ourselves and going like a sense. What's going on out there? Is it safe? What's the energy? It's like when you walk into a room and there's no visual clues, but there's just been some big fight, and you walk in, you go, what's wrong? You feel it right away, right? And working from there, because remember that our physical feeling is a mirror of our soul feeling, and our soul feeling is intuition. And intuition is a mirror of the divine spark. When you do this, and just spend some time getting quiet and just, we're not judging, we're not changing, we're not questioning. You're just feeling what's there and just reaching out and feeling what's there. Now, the first time I tried this, what happened with me anyway is that instantly you know, this huge energy of my mind, like zipped down to the, you know, to like a small sphere in front of me. And I was still aware of it, and it was still doing the same things, but it was no longer the whole show. I was aware that a whole lot of things were going on, one of which was my mind. And it's in that regard, it's very calming, because things get very objective. And even if I can't, you know, exactly put labels and words on things, I can at least you know, be open to sensing sensation. I think, too, with intuition, very often, while I'm a very verbal person, nonetheless, images from the divine often come in pictures. And it's useful to kind of to let images come. And not to judge. We still tend to limit. Remember, divine spark comes right out of pure potentiality. At its highest, the divine is pure potentiality. I mean, that's about as unlimited as it's possible to get. You know, like literally anything can happen. And intuition is our direct tie to that. And right to the divine. And I think what happens next, I don't know if Eileen meant me to share this next part. Well, she wrote it as a question that I'll chance this. Talking about her other daughter, the first thing Grace noticed when she got back from India was the change in energy in the house. You know, since both Eileen and two of her daughters went through this program with us together, Tesla and Heather, and it affect her readiness to jump into spiritual work at the moment. And again, this is absolutely an ego thing that happens. It's very, very common. You know, we're the trouble with doing spiritual work is it challenges the ego, and it means letting go of things that we were mistaken about. And it has no question of, it's not a question of how low or high or anything like that we are. At every single level, that's what spiritual work is going to be. It's going to be letting go of ego and letting go of things about which we are wrong. To walk into pure potentiality is to get uncomfortable with certainty, right? It's that crossing that threshold from the comfort zone into the magical world in Joseph Campbell's terms. But we also have to understand that the comfort zone is a total fiction. You know, we cannot stay in our comfort zone, because there is no comfort zone. There is no place where things are calm and secure and ever-changing. And when we hold to that fiction, that's why we have disruptions in our lives. Because it never was such a place. It's something we made up in our heads and then believed it. The reality is we are constantly growing. You know, the trees don't decide whether they want to leave their comfort zone or whether they're grown enough already. No, they continually grow from the moment they start to the moment they die. And so do you. So do all of us. It's simply a matter of, do you want to grow in naturally? Do you want to grow to your potential? Do you want to grow in distorted ways? Do you want to grow painfully? Do you want to grow joyfully? Those are decisions that we can make. But to not grow is not a decision that we have. I was thinking the other day, to come up with a better way to explain it than this, But how often I have heard people say things like, well, to justify where they are right now, they'll say, well, you know, I know what I want and I don't want to settle. Those people have already settled. They're just not aware of it, or they don't want to admit it. Right? I don't want to settle. It's an argument for staying where they are. They have already settled. They're just pretending otherwise. And so we really have no question. We really don't have the option not to do spiritual work. We have a hand in deciding how we want to move forward with that. But whether or not we're ready to do spiritual work, oh, it's going to happen. You know? What Carol and I were discussing at the beginning of this call, you know, with her children, with her adult children, they're doing spiritual work. They are thoroughly learning how what they're doing doesn't work and how it doesn't feel good. And they're not done learning that yet, or they'd let it go. And the rest of us, you know, are we ready to let go of things? The other thing about the comfort zone is, you know, going back over our early material, the importance of learning to embrace uncertainty. If you want good things to happen, you want surprising things to happen, you want joyous things to happen, you want to move forward, you're going to have to, you know, you don't know how that's going to happen, or you'd already have it. It's uncertain by definition. Every wonderful thing happens through uncertainty. And one of the most valuable lessons that we can all learn is to learn to be comfortable with uncertainty. And to replace that, doesn't mean that we have to feel off kilter. It means that that's why we started the program, you know, but developing a strong spiritual center, however that worked for people, whatever their fits what they themselves believe and define it as, because that's what gives us stability. There's this constant flow. Part of my journey, I mentioned abundance. You know, it's, I used to see security as that there's enough money in my retirement fund that I can relax. And while my retirement fund is in good shape, thanks, that doesn't do it still. What does it is when I recognize that there is a never-ending flow of abundance into which I can tap at all times, into which I can give from at all times. And that's just how it is. I mean, there's no way to exhaust it. There's no way to use it all up. There's no way to give it all away. It's impossible. It's like a steady river. I've also come to understand that the work that I do is part of something far greater than I understand. That I am like one tentacle of a much larger team. And this is just my little corner of it. And I don't know who all these people are or what they're doing and all that. And there's no way I could wrap my head around that. But I can see it clearly and I can feel it. And that means to really do my work as part of that, I have to accept that I'm not going to know and understand, and yet work as a member of that team nonetheless, and to do so happily and joyously. So being scared about things is to try to deny our pure potential. I mean, this is our nature. I used to think these are grand words, but now it's our very being. You know, we really can do whatever it is that you believe that you can, because that's the amount of energy that's going to get through your thought clouds. Another way to deal with negative feeling and fear and so forth. There's a wonderful formula. Trying to think of this guy's name too. He did a wonderful TED talk on it, the mathematics of feeling. And And it's based on long study, you know, which of the countries that report the highest happiness and all that. And they came up with several amazing formulas. And the one for happiness is how much do we want the things we have versus how much we have the things we want. And if we are, if we want the things that we have, this is gratitude, okay? And so the highest, the higher that factor, we're going to be happy. The other side of that fraction is gratification. Wanting, you know, or we're concerned about having things that we want. Fear is always worried about having things that we want, rather than, you know, wanting the things that we have. Gratification, there's nothing wrong with the search for gratification. This is the role of desire. It makes us expand. But if it grows out of proportion to gratitude, we're going to be unhappy or fearful that we're going to lose something. Okay? And that brings us right back to another key point we talked about in the journey, that there are only two motives, fear and love. And if we're not acting, if we're acting out of fear, we're not acting out of love, and vice versa. If we're not acting out of love, we're acting out of fear. And we would do well to look at what is it I'm afraid of here? Okay, and where does fear come from? Fear, it means that I am concerned that I'm going to not get something that I want or that I'm going to lose something that I have. And it's... one excellent way to deal with that is simply to up the gratitude to where that's in balance. In the hero's journey, that's why before we get into all the trials, right, there's a meeting with the goddess. Let's load up on good things here and tools and blessings, and then walk into our trials. Yet another way to look at this is we can trust our feelings in terms of, am I on the right path? Not by, am I afraid of it? Because that's ego, that's justification. But a better question, rather than is, you know, am I, are negative things coming up, is to look at, am I happy? Does this feel good? Right? When we come up with an idea and it really clicks, we're excited, right? We got all these other things to do, but we start working on it right away because we're excited about it. You know, that is a clear sign that you're on the right path. This is perfect. And that's how the right path should feel. Rather than worrying about how the wrong path feels, I think a better approach would be to look at, how does the right path feel? You know, am I happy? Is this joyous? Is this exciting? You know, in the same way that if we're going to take a wonderful vacation to California, we're going to drive there, right? We're packing the car. We're getting ready to pull out the driveway. We're just someplace for every day, but we're already happy and excited because we're on the path. And those sorts of things are going to be in harmony with intuition, with love, with our soul level, with the divine self. Fear is always going to come from mind. Okay? Always. And the antidote to fear isn't avoiding things. It is always love. The antidote to unhappiness isn't ramping up the should factory. It's always gratitude. You know, what are the things that are great about this situation? What are the things that are going well? What are the things we've already accomplished? Isn't that wonderful? And then suddenly we find we have a lot more time, and we realize things are much better than we like to believe, for whatever reason. And things start to flow far more ready. Our ego will always try to prevent us from being happy because our ego doesn't want to be happy. Our ego wants to be right. And if we were right, we would be living in 24/7 nirvana right this second. By definition, we are not quite right. Another saying I heard, just came across this recently, I love this, is there's no such thing as a dark night of the soul. When people say they're having a dark night of the soul, they're really having a dark night of the ego. And wow, that is just perfect. And that's this principle exactly. Your soul does not have dark nights. Your ego does. Not that I'm not in favor of self-preservation, but to the extreme that, you know, somebody comes, you know, rushes in and murders you. It's, you know, well, you just return to source everything goes on. And it's a very different place than we're used to thinking. But then that's why we're here and not there. So, how's that for one of the longest answers I've ever given? Eileen, I hope that answers your question. Go ahead, Carol.
There's some excellent nuggets of information there, Tim. Thank you.
You're
welcome.
It was a great question, and it was a great answer. Thank you.
Thank you. I highly recommend that intuition practice, by the way. It's very, very powerful. Well, I know that on the next call in October, anyway, Nicole and Selena came up to do a reconnection in person. And I know Nicole, anyway, mentioned that she wouldn't be on this call, but she was looking forward to being on the October call. So maybe we'll get more people there. I strongly invite people to send email questions so that even if you're not here, we can answer the questions. And and if you'd really just want to share what's going on for you and moving things ahead, that would be great as well. And what else? I can also share some things that are coming up. It's more slowly than I would have liked, but they're coming up. One is there's in the not too far future, there'll be a complete overhaul of my website. It will be much cleaner and much more focused and much more friendly towards people in terms of what is this? Do I belong here? Is this a good fit for me? How do I get started kind of thing? My free offer is going to be changing from the hodgepodge of things it is now to Better Health and Happiness, Kuan Yin Path, which is exactly what it sounds like, to get people started. And realize some benefits, and if they want to go further, they can move on to the Kuan Yin journey. I am going to relaunch the Kuan Yin journey as a group program the beginning of November, and I'm going to offer all of you, it will be enhanced a bit in terms of, first of all, there will be weekly Q&A calls and probably a few more support things as I think of along the way, maybe a cheat sheet for the four agreements, things like that. And I'll be sending out the calls that we did and the transcripts as, as modules to participants each week. And then each week's having a live Q&A call so that we can spend a lot of time on support. Because that was one thing that I noticed, that as great as it was, there was more support would have been really helpful because people went through quite a lot of things very, very quickly. So we'll see that how that will work. And I would mention this to you all because nobody can explain this program better than you can, being people who went through it. Nothing I can say or write or videotape is going to be anything like the impact that you can have. And I also would like to offer everyone a bring your friend retake opportunity, which is, bring a friend with you to who can enroll in the program, and you can join your friend and retake the program at no cost. That will give us a nice mix of people who have been around and are new, and will form a nice support community. At least that's how I hope that turns out. Looking ahead to the first of the year, if you remember Marina Orms of Astrology Heals, way back when I did Healer's Voices, she was easily the most popular one, and I really liked her work, and vice versa. She has the Manifesting with Moon Cycles bonus was part of this last package, and she is going to be enhancing that. In fact, she and I are going to be in partnership on it. So for 2014, she and I have put together an entire program where each month she will talk about the energies of the new moon on the new moon, and she sends out a 30-minute meditation on that material. It says she has been doing. And then I will be picking up those themes as well and presenting a 30-minute block of material focused on that energy each and every month. And on the full moon, she and I will jointly host a Q&A call. So everybody throughout the year will be able to focus on things that are relevant in the energy right then, you know, not 100 different things, just, you know, what's the major focus in this moon, and do so at a time when it's beneficial, when it's in tune with that, and adding to that my focus on getting practical results from energy and manifestation, and then giving that support call for people to share how it's going for them, where they might need help, as well as a Facebook community for mutual support and help. So instead of setting a New Year's resolution, you know, this should be something that is you have a good month to focus on one thing, and to make that a habit, to make that part of your energy. And so moving forward, it starts to happen automatically. And so people should accomplish 12 or 13 things rather than making a resolution that we forget about shortly after it started. So that's coming up, and there'll be special pricing for my own clients, which I think is going to be $97 a month. So that's coming up. In 2014, I want to put together, I have several notes and pieces of this, but a healing journey specifically for people who need to really focus on mental and or physical and or emotional or mental healing along the same kind of lines as the Kuan Yin journey, with the exception that we'll have many more healing sessions. And so an intense healing experience. And after that, at some point, putting together the Kuan Yin intensive, which will be essentially one-on-one work for the people who just need, you know, I just really need more in-depth work. And this would be working one-on-one a couple times a month for 6 months. And the, how that would work depends on the person. We would have a strategy call to set up a program for the 6 months that we've been and the objectives and march through that, whether that was a lot of material, whether it was a lot of Q&A, whether there's a lot of, you know, some healing work involved, whatever is necessary for that. I am still revising my Getting Unstuck book. When that's finally revised, I'll be probably presenting that as a set of video lectures, would then have the book come with it for somewhere around 97. So those are my plans through 2014, and whatever else comes up. As we all know, there what we plan and what happens aren't always the same thing, but those are the broad strokes. So now you know. And there'll be free content, some teleseminars coming up of free content to promote the Kuan Yin journey in October. And I haven't nailed down exactly what those will cover at this point. So you'll have to stay tuned. All right, that's what's going on over here. Questions, comments, thoughts, reflections? Thanks for joining. Appreciate you taking time to visit. Grateful for that. And everybody else listening, the next call is October it's the second Sunday in October, right? October 13th. At 3 p.m. It's a Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So noon if you're on the West Coast. It's in the evening if you're in the UK. And if you can't make it, make sure that you send me questions so that I can answer them. And you can send those anytime. And if you have questions about anything else, just let me know. Keep in touch. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Everybody has it. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim. It's very enjoyable, and we really appreciate you doing this kind of thing.
Oh, it's my pleasure, truly. I'm glad it helps. So have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Peace, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.